Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi ve kafa ve selamun ala ibadihillezine istafa amma ba'd. Kal Allahu tebaraka ve teala ve izâ se'eleke ibadî annî fe inni qarîb ucîbu da'vete dâ'i izâ da'an fel yestecîbu li vel yu'minu bi leallehum yerşudûn. Ve kal el-Nabiyyü sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem el-du'a'u mukhul ibadah ev kema kal aleyhi salatu ve selam. Honorable, respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening at home, one of the most important tools that we have as believers is the ability to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that dua has been described as being silahul mu'min, the weapon of a believer. So we have the ability to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs, for the needs of the ummah, which nobody can take away from us. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described dua to be the weapon of a believer. And inshallah today the plan is, like with everything, the way that we perform our salah, the way that we give our zakah, the way that we fast, and various other a'mal that we do, Shariat and Deen and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have shown us certain etiquettes to follow when it comes to making dua or supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs. So based on the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will go through certain etiquettes, certain times when dua accepted, whose dua is accepted, and finally what to make dua for. So inshallah, to begin with, what is actually dua? So dua, the definition, the dictionary definition is to call, to wish for something. But when it comes to in the light of Shariat and the light of Islam, then it means to supplicate to Allah Ta'ala, to converse with Allah Ta'ala, to talk to Allah Ta'ala, to request from Allah Ta'ala. And supplication, the word supplication by definition means when a person, he requests or asks with humility and humbleness. So when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we make dua with humbleness and humility, knowing that we can't do anything, and it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can do. So that's the first thing. The second then, in terms of, in the Qur'an, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, call upon me, I will respond to you. So we are given the command to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he will respond. And in another place in the Qur'an, Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my servant asks you about me, then indeed I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer to the dua of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran informs us that when a person makes dua, when we as his servants make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. So whenever we make dua, we should have this yaqeen and this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer my dua. So these are a couple of verses that we see in the Quran. And then from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fact that dua is a worship. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of we are asking for our needs. We are supplicating to Allah for ourselves, for the benefit of ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this an ibadah. As the Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu says that I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning, Ad-du'a'u huwa al-ibadah. That dua is worship. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. The verse that we recited in the second or third slide. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that dua is ibadah. So when we are making dua, in our minds we should have this understanding that I am in ibadah at this moment in time. Sometimes we think that tasbih is ibadah, we think salah is ibadah, reciting Quran is ibadah, because these are things where we are the actions which we are doing, which we perceive as being ibadah, because the benefit is there for us, but we're not asking for benefit for ourselves. Whereas dua is something, supplication is something that it's for ourselves or for the ummah or for our family. So We should have this understanding that dua is ibadah. In another narration, ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that dua is the essence of worship. So we understand the importance of dua in our Sharia and the importance of this then being a means of our connection with Allah Ta'ala. The fact that our connection with Allah Ta'ala will increase when we make dua. In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that dua will benefit you from things that have come down from the heavens and things that are yet to come down. So, O servants of Allah, make as much dua as you can. So, we are being instructed by the Prophet ﷺ to make as much dua as possible. So, this should be something which is part of our daily routine. Sometimes, you know, it's become a custom that we just raise our hands after salah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. We just say some words that we know, some du'as that we've read, that we've learned when we were small. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, and we'll walk away. Without realizing the power of du'a, the value of du'a, the position of du'a in Shariat. So when we make du'a, if it's a small amount of time, it doesn't really matter. But it should be with concentration, and it should be with the understanding that this is me conversing and connecting with my Creator, who can do anything for me and everything for me. Okay, so now we move on to some etiquettes of dua that we learn from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First thing, be in a state of wudu. So these are preferable, like this morning, Maulana Muhammad Sayyid, mashallah, mentioned the hadith in terms of dua and how dua can be something which a person just on the spot, he should be asking for anything and everything. At every moment, he's going to the masjid, Ya Allah, take me safely. Now for this, he doesn't have to sit on the musalla, face towards the qibla and various of the etiquette. He can just think this in his heart and connect with his Creator and ask for this. This is we are talking about when a person wants to, sit and make dua specifically for certain aspects of his life or for certain things, then these are some of the etiquettes that he needs to keep in mind. So, one narration that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished with the Battle of Hunayn, فَدَعَى بِمَاءٍ, he asked for some water, فَتَوَضَّأَ, he performed wudu, ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, then he raised his hand. And then he made some dua pertaining to the situation that transpired in Hunayn. And then the narrator mentions that Abu Musa al-Ashari mentions that وَرَأَيْتُ بِيَاضَ أَبْطَيْهِ, that I saw the whiteness of his armpit, meaning his hands were risen to such a level that you could see under his armpits, the whiteness of his armpits. So this is something that we understand, that the first thing is from this narration is fatawadda, that be in a state of wudu. When a person makes dua, he should be in a state of wudu. Face the qibla. The next etiquette, this is the narration of at the time of the Battle of Badr. لما كان يوم بدر نظر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى المشركين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at the day of Badr, he looked towards the mushrikeen, وهم ألفٌ, they were 1,000 in number. And the Sahaba were around 319, 313, around this amount. فَاسْتَقْبَلَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقِبْلَ. The Prophet ﷺ then turned towards the Qibla. ثُمَّ مَدَّ يَدَيْهِ, he spread out his hands. And then he started to invoke his Rabb and supplicate to his Rabb. And he made dua. And this is the same time that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an told the Prophet ﷺ that you are a true prophet. You are going to, because the Prophet ﷺ was so... with so much worry and concern, he was making dua. Because by number, they were far, they were 1 to 3 in terms of the number of Muslims to the number of mushrikeen. They were 1 to 3, they were outnumbered. So the Prophet ﷺ faced towards the Qibla and he made dua. So facing the Qibla is also one of the etiquettes. Raise your hands. So this again is the same narration which we mentioned previously in terms of the first etiquette, that ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, then he raised his hands. So then he raised his hands, فَتَوَضَّأَ ثُمَّ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. So we should be raising our hands. And the ulama mentioned that when a person raises his hands, he makes it like a bowl, an empty bowl, with a little gap in between. Maulana Salim Sahib, Hafidhahullah, mentioned in one of his talks that a person is signifying the fact that he has nothing. And he is asking from the one who has everything. So we are asking from Allah Ta'ala, who is the owner of everything, and who can provide everything. So we should be in a state of showing our humility and humbleness, that we are asking from Allah, the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who is the owner, the King of Kings. So we when we raise our hands as well, we raise them close to our chest level, and we have a little gap in between with our hands made in a semicircle, so that it signifies a bowl, an empty bowl. The fourth, have presence of heart and attentive heart. In one of the in Surah Al-Alam Nashrah, wa ila rabbika farghab, and to your Rabb direct your longing. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was ordered. And one of Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned, ala adulluka ala du'a'in la yuraddu abada, ud'u Allah wa anta muqinun bil ijaba bi khushu'in. He mentions that, should I not inform you of a supplication that will never ever be returned, meaning not accepted? He said, supplicate to Allah whilst you have yaqeen, you have conviction in your heart that it will be accepted, bi khushu'in, with attentiveness and with the understanding that there is khushu' there, concentration there. So when we are making dua, one of the etiquettes is to have this concentration and this attention, that who am I asking from, what am I asking for, how am I asking, how am I sitting, which way am I facing, am I in the state of wudu? Because this is very important. It's like if a person was to be was talking to somebody, but he wasn't, it's happened with us many, many times maybe, where we are talking to somebody and we know they're not paying attention. And we'll be talking to them, they're not paying attention. How do we feel? So we are asking from the King of Kings, from the Creator, from the Sustainer. So we should be having an extra level of attention. So when even after, we will see that in this masjid as well, we try to encourage the brothers after salah to do their own dua. The reason for this, one of the reasons for this is that everybody has their own needs and everybody has their own dua that they want to make. And also the fact that maybe someone has just come from a situation from home or has some situation in his life where he wants to make dua for a little bit longer. So he's not then confined to the dua of the imam. The imam will make certain duas for himself. So we should be making this dua. There is times where dua in congregation is good and it's beneficial and it's there. But after salah is, and we'll mention as well, that the significance of after salah, it's an opportunity for us to converse with our Creator. We've just performed salah, we have an opportunity to converse with our Creator. So we should then be, attentive in our own dua. It's not like, the imam will make dua, I will say ameen. Shortcut, a bit of a discount. The imam will say, make the dua, I will... We have to make our own dua, because my needs and the needs of the congregation is different. So this is one of the reasons why we have that as well. So attentive heart. Number five, introduce your dua correctly. So, Fudalat ibn Ubaid mentions, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَبْدَى بِتَحْمِيدِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَالثَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ, that when a person, when one of you performs, when one of you makes dua, then begin with praising Allah Ta'ala, then send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ask for whatever you want afterwards. So the system is that we don't go straight into dua. When we start our dua, first start with praising Allah Ta'ala. Praising Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Reading Surah Fatiha. There are many verses in the Quran. Ayatul Kursi is in praise of Allah Ta'ala. Qulillahumma malikal mulk tu'til mulka man tasha. These are verses which are in praise of Allah. Whatever we know, praise Allah Ta'ala. Then read Durood Sharif upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahumma Durood Ibrahim. Shorter dua, durood, whichever duroods we know. And then ask for whatever we want. So this is also the making sure that the introduction of the dua is done correctly. Because then there is a higher chance of it being accepted. Number six, be decisive in your request. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لا يقولن أحدكم اللهم اغفر لي إن شئت اللهم ارحمني إن قال شئت ليعزم المسألة فإن الله لا مكره له. That one shouldn't, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that a person shouldn't say, oh Allah, forgive me if you wish. Oh Allah, have mercy on me if you wish. Because nobody can, compel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ask for forgiveness directly. Allahumma ghafirli. Allahumma rahamni. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me. Be decisive in the request. And this is one of the etiquettes. Ask persistently. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentions, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yu'jibuhu an yad'uwa thalathan wa yastaghfira thalathan. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would make dua, he would make dua and repeat the dua three times, and he would ask for forgiveness three times. So if he was making dua, for example, Allahumma ghafirli, he would say Allahumma ghafirli three times. Allahumma arhamni, he would say it three times. So this was something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So persistence. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah mentions that one of the most beneficial of cures is persistent dua. Making dua consistently and persistently in terms of the need that we have, repeating it. Because we want to show Allah Ta'ala that we are in need. So when a person is in need, he will ask over and over again until he's accepted. Number 8, make dua during times of both ease and difficulty. And the verse, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. That in times of hope and fear, they used to make dua. So they used to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to make sure that we, even when we have ease, we make dua. And when we're in difficulty, we make dua as well. It's very easy for a person to make dua in difficulty. Why? Because he has, you know, no recourse to any other action or any other place or anybody else. So what will he do? He will make dua. He's almost, you know, given up in the sense that there's nobody that can help him. Maybe he's got a debt on his head, and someone, the loaner is asking for the money. Now he has no recourse to any funds. Nobody he can think of who's going to help him in this situation. He will definitely ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full concentration, full devotion, fully being attentive, fully attentively he will ask for the help in this situation. But when it comes to ease, then we forget Allah. Then it's very easy for us then to just do رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِينَ. Because we're not in need. But we should remember Allah in times of ease and difficulty. Because if we remember Allah in times of ease, Allah will remember us in difficult, when we have our difficult times. And it's very important that if we make a habit of dua, then it will become easier for us to remember Allah throughout, you know, consistently every single day at that time. It may be that after Fajr Salah, we know that day on a daily basis, 5 minutes we make dua. Or after Dhuhr Salah, or after Asr, or after Isha, or after Maghrib, or pertaining to the seasons in the year, we have different times in winter, in summer, in spring, in autumn. We have different times, but we should have a time where we make dua. In Ramadan, it's easier because we are fasting, because there is many moments during the day where we get the opportunity to make dua. Number 9, acknowledge the sins and wrong. This is again the story of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, that one of the most powerful of his du'as was the fact that he acknowledged his mishap when he said, فَنَادَى فِي, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, he proclaimed in the darknesses, أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتْ سُبْحَانَكْ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That there is no ilah but you. Subhanak, you are most pure. إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Indeed, I am from the wrongdoers. When Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam left his people and then he was taken by the fish, the whale, and the long story, where he was in the belly of the fish, in the darknesses of the belly of the fish and the water and the night, he made this dua, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And we know our condition, we know how sinful we are, we know how much we transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much wrong we've done, and how much wrong we do on a daily basis. So it's from the etiquettes of dua to acknowledge this sin, to turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I have done wrong. Ya Allah, I have committed sin. But if you don't forgive me, where will I go? So asking for this is also very important. Doing i'tiraf. And, you know, generally as well, some people have a difficulty to acknowledge their wrong. No, but I didn't do that. No, but this is why. And we justify. No, but this is why I did this. Oh, no, but, you know, I could have. It was this reason why I. So we almost console ourselves when we know we've done wrong deep down. Oh, no, but it was so-and-so's fault that this happened. We need to learn to have this quality in ourselves that we acknowledge our own sins and our own wrongdoing. Because when a person acknowledges his wrong, then what will happen is automatically he will improve. But if a person is always justifying himself, and this is generally speaking as well, always justifying himself, what's going to happen? He's never going to improve. He's never going to think that I have done wrong. So this is something that we can translate into the rest of our life as well, not just in dua. Number 10, perform some nafil salah or any act of good deed before commencing with dua. We are turning to the Creator. We please Him. He will fulfill our needs. The whole point is that we want to please Him. We want to become close to Him. Number 11, make dua for oneself first and then for others. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions that أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ذكر أحدا فدعا له بدأ بنفسه. Whenever he would remember somebody, first he would make dua for himself. And this is from the needs of brotherhood, And also from the cause of dua being accepted, that a person, he makes dua for himself and then he makes dua for his brothers as well. It's our duty. It's our responsibility to make dua for ourselves, our family, our fellow brethren, the Muslim ummah at large. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ Seek forgiveness for your sins and for the believing men and for the believing women. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. And also Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that مَنْ اسْتَغْفَرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ حَسَنًا That whosoever seeks forgiveness for the believing men and believing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him, for every believer, one good deed. So it's benefit for us as well. So we make dua for ourselves first, and then we move on to our family, our fellow ummah, the Muslim ummah. To cry and show humility. Okay. This is one narration where seven people, they will be given the shade from the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a person who ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه, that he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, individually by himself, and then from his eyes, the tears start to flow from his eyes. So again, when a person, he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times we will be going through some situation and we are emotional. It's very important at those moments we capitalize on the tears that are coming, and we turn to Allah Ta'ala and we cry in front of Allah Ta'ala. Don't let those tears waste. Don't waste away the tears. Turn to Allah, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, there will be the benefit in that for us. Okay, now we move on to when duas are accepted. Certain times, dua at the time of suhoor, dua between adhan and iqama, dua made after adhan. So these are all moments that we need to capitalize on. We need to make a note and we need to capitalize on these moments in terms of when we can make dua at the time of suhoor, when we are about to start our fast, when we between adhan and iqamah, again we can make dua then. We are waiting, we have performed our sunan and we are waiting for the salah to commence. Make dua. Turn to Allah. And then after adhan as well, make dua then. There's the dua, specific dua as well. Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tammah. This dua as well. But also other duas we can make. Dua after farad salah. The narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that dua at the time of tahajjud is accepted. In the same narration it's mentioned that salatil maktuba in terms of farad salah as well. After farad salah, the duas are accepted as well. So we should make the most of these moments after farad salah as well. We give how much importance we give to tahajjud salah and dua at the time of tahajjud. But in the same narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentions the farad salah as well, that dua after farad salah is also accepted. On the day of Arafah and in the month of Ramadan, generally in the month of Ramadan, duas are accepted. So any moment that we have spare, when we are driving in the car maybe, when we are walking home, when we are coming to the masjid, whatever we are at work, and we remember some duas or we remember somebody, make dua in our heart. This can be dua, we're just conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then have the specific time as well, where we can keep all the etiquettes in mind as well that have been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on as well. Dua on a Friday at the following times. On Friday there is a specific time which is a specific moment where duas are accepted. This moment is hidden, nobody actually knows this moment. There are certain times from amongst them, these three as well, that the ulama have mentioned that it could be possibly these times. One being when the imam ascends the minbar for the khutbah till he completes the Jummah salah. This time, dua between Asr and Maghrib, the last few moments before Maghrib as well, this is where duas are accepted. So on the day of Friday, we should be extra, extra aware of making dua. Now whose duas are accepted? Dua of an oppressed person, dua of a fasting person at the time of iftar, dua of an upright and just leader. So these are all people who the Prophet ﷺ have mentioned in a hadith in terms of whose dua is accepted. Dua of a person who goes for hajj, ones who's performed hajj, dua of a sick person is ill, get the duas. Dua of a person striving in the path of Allah, dua of a distressed person, a person whom none can help but Allah. So all these people, we should try our best to try and help people as well and gain their du'as. And again, gaining du'as, earning du'as is what's important. Earning the du'as of our parents, earning the du'as of a person who's mazloom, who's oppressed. This is when, we say to somebody, make du'a for me. And he makes du'a for you. But you do something for somebody, and then they make dua for you, that has more value in terms of the fact that you've earned the dua. Okay, so the final slide in terms of when dua of the parents as well is accepted. The dua of the parents is accepted as well in terms of for the children. So when we make dua for our children, we should make dua, good dua. Not the bad dua that we sometimes, you know, some people are, you know, it could be the time of acceptance. And then that dua, if it is accepted, the bad dua, meaning a bad dua is accepted, which is not in the favor of our children, that could come back to haunt us. Many people, they will make a dua, they will make a curse, they will curse their children, and they don't realize the power that this has, and it's the time of acceptance, it's accepted, and then this person is then, you know, cursing himself that, you know, why did I make that curse for my child? So again, this is something which is very, very important. We understand from the various ahadith, Rasulullah ﷺ encouraged us to make dua for the following. Make dua for ourselves, our parents. There are certain duas that we can make. رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. It's from the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to make that dua in favor of our parents. Make dua for the ummah at large. Make dua that Allah allows us to do good deeds. And that we can have good character, we can have taqwa in the month of Ramadan, especially when we are fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting specifically for us to become muttaqi. So we ask Allah to make us muttaqi. We ask Allah for the quality of taqwa. Ask Allah for the love of Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. This dua as well. Attaining the best of this world and the hereafter. We know the dua, the famous dua. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Rabbi zidni ilma, increasing in beneficial knowledge. Forgiveness from all type of sins. And then seeking refuge from treachery, from sickness, trials and tribulations, difficult times, evil neighbors, the plots of the enemies, misguidance, all types of evil. So these are certain things that we can make dua for. And finally, before we finish, before we conclude, a very important thing is to make a dua list. I think many people, you know, when they go for Hajj, they make a dua list for the day of Arafah. When I'm in Arafah, I'm going to make all these dua. So I don't forget anybody, don't forget anything, I'm going to make a list. So we should maybe sit down individually and make a list of all the things that we want to, what we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, maybe be careful in terms of what we ask for as well. There was somebody who recently said to me that, you know, I make dua that Allah ta'ala give me sabre jameel. Now when a person is asking for beautiful patience, that means with beautiful patience comes difficulty and trials. So I told that person, don't ask for that. Ask for afiyah. That Allah give you goodness in your life so that you don't have to do sabr-e jameel. So then he understood that, oh, okay. So maybe we should be careful in terms of what we ask for as well. But at the same time, make a dua list. Make a list of all the dua that we want to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we need. And inshallah, then we won't forget anything. And we won't. And try and learn the dua that have come in the ahadith. There are books like Munajat al-Maqbool, the couple of books as well, that where the collation of all the du'as with English translation of the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unfortunately, we don't understand the Arabic language, so it's difficult for us. But there is the translation as well. There is the translation as well. And remember, du'a is just us talking to Allah, having a conversation with Allah for our needs. This is what we need to see, what we need to understand. That we are asking from Allah Ta'ala and we are conversing with Allah Ta'ala. It's us and Allah. There was a lady who from England, her name was Evelyn Cobalt. And she was the first Muslim woman, revert, who went to Hajj from England. Her family lived in Tunisia and she accepted Islam. She's actually buried in Scotland. From the aristocrats in terms of their wealthy people who at that time in the 1800s, well, even in the 1800s. So she has a book called, where she has a travelogue on her journey to Hajj, to Makkah Mukarram, and she writes about, so in that, one of the things that encouraged her to Islam, so she was a Catholic before, one of the things that encouraged her to come to Islam was the fact that she loved the ability for a person to have an individual connection with their Creator. So in Catholicism and various other denominations of various other faiths, a person to get to his Creator has to go through somebody. So for example, there's the whole, in Catholicism you have the sinning, where you know, they go and they in the church and they will tell the priest that I have sinned. So the priest is the means towards the Creator. So she writes in the book in terms of how she loved the fact that in Islam, a person can have a direct connection with Allah, and the Imam is just the leader in terms of the one who leads the congregation, and that's his role. But the congregation, they can have their own ability and connection with Allah Ta'ala. So we have this ability to connect to Allah. Sometimes we think, you know, I need to ask so-and-so sheikh, or so-and-so or alim, or so-and-so a pious person to ask for dua. And it's good, and these are pious people, and of course if we gain their duas and attain, it's very good, and we should ask for them. But we have the ability to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. We don't need somebody else to make dua for us on our behalf. This is the beauty of our faith, that we have the ability to make dua to Allah Ta'ala directly, direct connection. And we need to capitalize upon this, and we need to make sure that we make the most of this ability to have this connection with Allah Ta'ala, and we need to make dua for ourselves, for the ummah, for our family, for the whole of humanity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them and show them the true path and grant us taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of benefit for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of our dua being accepted. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we make the most of these special moments in the month of Ramadan. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.